But anyway, want to get back in just a second on we've been doing a little study on discernment, and I tell you what, I have really got such a insight studying this particular topic. I don't think I've studied it lightly and thought on it and knew basic what it was, but as I've studied this, it has just opened my eyes up. Last 2 Wednesday nights, this just opened my eyes up so much to discernment. And I want to really talk more about using discernment to navigate our world. And because our world is so gray now, it's such a gray world, and God has given us discernment to navigate all of that. That's the awesome thing. God's blessed us with that. He's blessed us, and I'm going to share some of that with you tonight. But I really want to talk to you about navigating a gray world tonight. And I don't got no text tonight. I've got several scriptures that it's kind of got points to each one of them, but there really wasn't one text, but just the topic of discernment. So if you will, let's just stand and pray over this tonight, and then we'll kind of jump in with a few scriptures and a few thoughts. I got about four or five thoughts here. Amen. But let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Father, I do. I thank you for your word tonight. I just pray that you'll help me, Lord. Help me to bring it across and to reveal it the same as I feel it in my heart. And, Lord, that your people here will get the same benefit and feel the same footing under them that I feel in my heart, Lord. It just has energized me. It excites me, Lord God. I just feel like you're speaking this word for now. So use that tonight. Touch hearts and lives. Speak it, Lord. Speak it loud into our hearts, for this is such a great time, and we need discernment, God. Every choice, every decision, Lord, help us. Help us. So we love you. We praise you now. We honor you. And all the glory is yours. In the name of Christ our Savior, and all the church said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Come on, let's thank the Lord. Amen. Thank the Lord. We bless his name. Amen. Amen. We'll go ahead. And I want to read a scripture really that we left off on. You can be seated, Miss Julie. It's okay. A scripture we really left off on last week. Actually, we left off on really two scriptures, but this was one of the dominant scriptures that we left off on last week. Ephesians 5, starting with verse 6. I want to read it again. Let no man deceive you. And that's a powerful word for us in the hour that we live in, because there are so many vain words now, so much deception, so many words that have no worth in them, or they're no substance, or they don't say what they say, what they don't mean, and what they mean they don't say, and it's just vain words. It just don't mean anything. You just well listen to the wind blow. Matter of fact, you'd be better off sometimes. But he says, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Verse 7, be not ye therefore partakers with them. And then verse 8 kind of gets back into where we need to be. For ye were sometimes in darkness, and we were, but now we are in the light, and the light of the Lord, and now we walk as children of light. I want you to just think on all that. We now walk as children. We now live in the light of the Lord. We're not in the darkness no more. Amen. We were sometimes in the darkness. Wow. Bring it on back, Casey. Bring it on back. We were sometimes in the darkness. But now we are in the light. And in the light of the Lord, we walk as children of light. Okay, verse 9. For the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Verse 10, proving. And there's that word that really means the same thing as what I'm talking about those last couple weeks, discerning. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Proving, discerning what is acceptable with decisions and with choices. In verse 11, having no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reproving. And that's that discernment. Now, Here's what I want to tell you tonight. I want to just give you this is kind of a thought for this heading for this scripture. Discernment cause the world is gray. Don't you think about that? We need discernment. Discernment for no other reason than the world is totally gray. It's more gray. I believe it's more grayer now than it ever has been. And when I say gray, I mean where truths are shamed, or truths are mocked, or truths are said to not even exist. Lies are celebrated and lies are rewarded, and there's just such a confused and there seems to be no definite lines and no definite points anymore in any area of life. There seems to be no conclusive place of where we can stand, or what is a particular thing. Marriage, gender. I mean, I can't. My mind can't even bring out everything. Where it's everything. All the lines have been muddled. There's no distinctions. There's no distinctions hardly anywhere where truth is. Matter of fact, truth is supposedly non-existent now. Truth is, in our current culture, truth is what you want to make it. That's the culture mentality. Truth is according to you. And you talking about something that grays a world. To where there is now no longer black and white. There is no longer black and white. What a sad day. The old prophet seen it coming. Isaiah in 5:20, he seen it coming. This is kind of what he said in Isaiah 5:20. He said, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." See, no distinct or just muddling, no boundaries, no distinctive lines. And then he went on and said this even in verse 21. "Woe unto them who are wise in their own eyes." And listen, prudent, which the word in the Old Testament for prudent, it's the same word as a discerner. Prudent means being a discerner. But they're discerners in their own sight. Like this is what truth is. Or this is what we declare to be true. Prudent now in their own eyes. Having no standard. Having nothing to back it up, or having nothing to stand on, but deciding in their own minds, in their own sight, this is truth. And the minute you pull away from the sure standard, it's where the gray begins to come. And that's any of it. If any man, any good man begins to pull away from a standard, things will begin to get gray. And that's one of the reasons our world is gray. And if ever there was a time that discernment is needed, it is now. For every area of truth is tainted or smudged. I want you to think about this. Think about all the way back to our original father and mother, Adam and Eve. Think all the way back there. I want you to just think about this. This is just how important I believe discernment is. I've been trying to emphasize, I feel like this every week, but it becomes reiterated in my heart every week that I study on this. But all the way back to the garden, you know what? It was a perfect world. Think about it. It was a perfect world. There was no sin. There was no temptation at that time. There was no sin nature at all. Think about that. No sin nature. Man hadn't fallen. And there was no nature to even sin. Even to even know what sin was. Sinless world. But listen, this was the thing. Because they had the ability to choose. God gave them free will ability to make decisions, to make choices. Because that's the way he wants it. He wanted that. But since they had the ability to choose, the ability to make decisions, they could choose between good and evil. And that's the whole issue. Being able to choose between good and evil, They failed in discernment. They failed, therefore, falling under the wiles of the devil. When they fail under discernment, drug sin into this sinless world, this perfect world. Therefore, giving us then the sin nature. But it was all because they failed at discernment. And I thought about it. The world wasn't gray then. That's why I brought all that up. In Adam and Eve's world, it wasn't gray. It was all black and white. Completely. Their entire universe was black. It was plain. It was cut. It was dry. Tonight, by the way, I'm preaching against the gray world. I'm preaching that there is still some black and white. For sure. But think about it. There was no gray then. It was all black and white, but still because of the ability. We've got options. And that makes it dangerous without discernment. Anytime that we as people have options, we have free choice. We can choose. You can leave here today, do anything you want to do. You can. You can go as crazy as you want to go. You might not get by with it but a day or a couple hours. They might have you in the pokey by sunrise, but you can make choices tonight, do anything you want to do. Amen. But ain't you glad that you've had some discernment? That's the power. That's the potency of it. Now, we coming behind Adam and Eve, we live in a world that's full of sin, a fallen world. We ourselves, we're faced with temptation and the temptation to sin at every turn. Some of you, I guarantee you, been tested today over and over and over. Not only that, now within us is the sin nature. The propensity to sin, the inclination, the stir, sometimes the desire, yes, the desire, the passion sometimes. Don't sit out there and act like you ain't got it. I've seen some mighty saints of God lay up on this altar and scream out to God, fighting a passion that was trying to take them to hell. Amen. The sin nature. Amen. Amen. But therefore, we've got all these things and all the gray that's now in our world. The world is gray. We need discernment so bad. So bad. Second thing I want you to bring out, I want you to keep in your mind, the world is gray. 1 John, let's go to 1 John chapter 1. Verse 5, 6, and 7. Let's, I want you to read. I want you to see this. This is the message which you have heard of him and declare unto you. Listen, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Now let me say this again. The world is gray, but I want you to hear this. But there's not any gray in God. There's none. Go back to verse 5 again. There is none. I want you to see that. That God is light. And in him there is no darkness at all. I mean any. There's not a shade. There's not a tint. It is not even anywhere close. It is still all black and white. God is light, and in him there is no darkness, and there's not even anything. He is the only, as Jesus even said himself in John 17 and 3, he is the only true God. There's no darkness there. There's nothing there. To God, it's always been just black and white. It is. Even tonight, even in our gray world, when God looks from heaven, he still, come on somebody, he still looks from heaven and sees it black and white. No matter how the minds of men have muddled it, no matter how we've grayed it, no matter how we've smudged the boundaries, no matter how we've decided and made decisions that we can mature a little here, or we can go a little further here, or whatever it is that we've did, God still looks from heaven, because in him there is no darkness and he is light. He still sees it all with no gray. Absolutely no gray at all. None. In his greatness, in his perfection, it's all black and white. In his omniscience, because he knows everything. Think about it. Even the stuff that me and you will struggle with, and we're going to talk about a thing or two in a minute as we close tonight. Even the things that we might struggle with trying to figure out, is that a gray area? He sits high and lifted up and knows from his omniscience. What is black and white in that? He knows, because it's perfect. See, our problem is we're not perfect, and that's where we struggle sometimes with the gray. Therefore, that's why we need the discernment so bad, because of our lack of perfection, our lack of omniscience. We don't know what that decision's, where that decision goes. God knows. In his perfection, he can see. Therefore, he can immediately decide what's black and what's white. Immediately, he can decide that's darkness and that's light. Immediately, he can pick the good out of the evil. Immediately, he can pick the best. Or immediately, he can pick the perfect out of even the good. Because he is set in such a place of omniscience, being able to see. But see, that's our struggle. And that's why this is even something that we need even more. We need discernment. Amen. So having said all that and read the couple of verses, I want to make this statement now. Grayness, I think we could affirm this. I think it'd be profitable for us that if we would affirm that all the grayness is the result of the fall. That's why the world is gray. I said the world was gray. Well, I'll tell you why the world is gray. It's the result of the fall. Because of the fall, man now begins to make the world gray. Man moves away, and we're getting further and further every day, to the point now that, you know, even all the gods is okay. Whatever. To each his own. Tadpoles and all. Whatever. I don't even know why I said tadpoles. I don't even mean nothing. But I want you to think about that. Amen. So discernment is such a big thing. Okay, here's point three. Are you hanging with me? It's all going somewhere. Are you all right? Romans 12:1-2 says this, and I know you know what Romans 12:1-2. Everybody preaches on Romans 12:1-2, but I want you to see it a little bit different. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, of course, which is your reasonable service. Absolutely, we affirm that. Verse 2, be not conformed to this world. Why? Because this world's gray. Don't buy into all the gray works. Don't buy into having to live in the gray world. Don't live your life according to the gray. Just because culture says, or just because the world says. Oh, no, you don't buy into the gray world. Don't be conformed. Don't allow the gray world to conform you. Amen. But what? But be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. Before we go any further, I just want to make this statement. You gotta do the hard work of discernment. Discernment's hard work. That's where I've come to believe now. Discernment is hard work. We're not talking about, there is a gift. We have not talked about that yet. That's coming probably in another week or so. There is the gift of discernment that God, because he loves us and he sees his body. That's usually involved when the body, the church, when the church needs discernment in it, he gifts someone and someone will be gifted in it, will rise up and call sin, or rise up and call something false or some heresy or something, or to protect some young Christian or some way. But that's a gift. That's just only because he just loves us, and he says, you know what, you need to see this. And just the same as he gifts us in those other gifts, spiritual gifts, he gives us the spiritual gifts. I've operated in that before. I've not operated in all the gifts, but I have operated in that spirit all where I just was endowed with being able to see. Just being able to recognize where this is going. That's just the gift. That's the gift. But outside of the gift, because that just comes. That's just God being good to you. Woo! Shazam. And you think, like, I'm the smartest guy in the room. God, that's how you knew it. I seen a sin coming one time, way ahead of time. And I was amazed at myself when it come to pass. Then I realized it was God. It wasn't because I was smart. If it had been left up to me, I'd have missed it by a mile, and a lot of other folk would have got caught up in it. Come on. Amen. But God. But now, outside of that gift, discernment's hard work. It is. It's very hard work. Even the language that it says about resisting and not being conformed to this gray world. Standing up against, speaking out against, pushing back, what Ephesians says, reproving. See, that'll get you persecuted. That'll get you called a radical. That'll get you called a nut. That'll get you called, what's wrong with you? Why ain't you with it? Who are you? That'll get you called, or you some goody-goody somebody. That'll get you called all kinds of persecute. It's hard work when you decide, you know what, I'm not going to be conformed to this world. I'm not going to go gray. Tell your neighbor, I ain't going gray. Amen. It's hard work, but rather, here's still the hard work: being transformed. This change goes on by the renewing of your. That's hard work. That is such hard work. Well, that involves study and clarifying and seeking and prayer, fasting. And searching the scriptures like a Berean to see if these things be true. Amen. Getting a hold to word and revelation over and over and over till you get it, till you see it. Studying it for years upon years. Hard work. You got to do the hard work of discernment, to get it, to get a hold to it. Amen. I believe that tonight. Amen. But in the bottom half of this verse, it says this, that you may prove what is good, even acceptable, but even perfect, will of God. Discerning, is this good? Is this acceptable? Or even beyond that, doing the hard work to see, is this even the perfect? I have to be honest, sometimes I've held up and when I've just got acceptable, I'm like, well, you know, I can kind of smooth on through with this because this is acceptable. And it's a little bit deeper to get through to the good. But I'm going to tell you what, when you really go after this perfection of his will, where everything, remember, in God is black and white. There's no darkness in him at all. There's no gray. Spending the time and the effort and the energy on things that's in your life or in your heart to find the perfected will of God over. Amen. That's hard. That's hard work. But it defeats the gray. It allows you to do what the scriptures called us to do in Ephesians, to walk in the light as he is in the light. And to stay clear of the darkness. Where little John said, that place that you don't even know the truth. That's what gray does. You walk in the gray long enough, you don't even know the truth. I know folk like that now. That come here or whatever, used to be here and went on or whatever and don't need church or don't need much church or whatever, went gray on me. And now, seem like they don't even know the truth. Amen. Amen. Just coming together at all. I hope so. But he says, got to prove it. Got to prove it. So I could say it like this. I kind of see the purpose. I see the purpose of discernment now. This has just been opened up to me. It really has. I see the purpose. I see God's grand scheme in blessing us with the ability to be able to discern. See, we're the only creatures, by the way, that can discern. Animals or what, they don't discern. Angels don't discern. They're not even like us. Come on. God give us the ability to discern. And I found the purpose in it. In this text and even in the scriptures that we've been kind of bringing together. And in one sense, discernment is for this. It's being able to walk into this gray world and to be able to separate the gray. To separate it in such a way, to be able to separate it. And what everything that's gray, you know what's got black and white in it. But the purpose of discernment is to be able to go into that and to separate. And to see this is white and this is black. And this is now the good or the acceptable. This is now the perfect. The perfect will. That's the whole purpose. That's why God blessed us with discernment. That's why he gives this. If we was perfect now, or we was in his perfect will, we wouldn't wrestle with so many of these issues that aren't black and white, that are gray. But because we're not perfect, that's why we have the need of discernment. There ain't none of us in here perfect. And that's why we need discernment so bad in this gray world so that we can separate the black and white in it, in the gray, and discern. Well, this is light. That is darkness. Amen. All right. Proverbs 16:21. I want to just give you the top part of this verse. I'm about done, too. When I walk through stuff, I do better. Just saying. I've been trying to discern how to do better. I just want to read this top part. The last part's good, too, but this top part's really what I want. Listen, the wise in heart. What a statement. What a statement. There's a duality right there. The wise in heart shall be called discerning, prudent. It's the same word. You can look it up in your lexicon later. You can go home, look it up, and even in the Strong's, we'll have you find it. It's discerning. The wise in heart. If you're wise in heart tonight, you'll be called discerning. But there's a duality in it. I love this because this is what it takes. If it's so important to be discerning that you'll find what it takes in this verse, or a chunk of it anyway. The wise in heart points to two things, don't it? The wise in heart. It really points to two things. It only mentions the heart, but it points to the head too. The head. Head and the heart points to two things. The head and the heart. It's the two things it's going to take to be wise, to be a discerner. It'll take the head for sure, and it's going to take the heart for sure. Without them both, you'll never be discerning. I don't care how much head knowledge you get. If you only got head, you only got the head part, you're never going to be discerning to find the perfect will of God. Never. There's folk been full of knowledge, so full of knowledge, so full of wisdom. They couldn't make a good choice if their life depended on it. Couldn't make a discerning decision. Look at the Pharisees. Knew the letter of the law by heart. That was even biblical wisdom. Knew biblical wisdom. But yet couldn't discern the Son of God standing right before them. Wise in the head and a dead heart. And that only brings death. The letter killeth. If it's just knowledge, you'll never be discerning. This world is full of preachers who have just got wisdom in their head and go about killing, undiscerning. Amen. But it takes a wise heart. It's head, and then it's heart also. It's the heart. It's the heart. That's the place where it really comes together. That's where the spirit becomes involved. Spirit knowledge. Spirit revelation. We left off with this verse. I think it's the verse we actually left off with last week. And I'm going to leave off with it probably again this week. But 2 Corinthians chapter 2, we'll read that again. 2 Corinthians, or first, it was 1 Corinthians is what it was. I'm sorry. I messed you up, Casey. That's all right. I'll just read it. Huh? I'll just read it. If you 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I get in a big hurry sometimes, and 1 Corinthians chapter 2. You're going to get there before I do. Chapter 2, verse 11. Oh, I got a new Bible too, by the way. I finally had to give her up. Look at that. Got me a brand new Bible. Yeah, it's nice. That's why I can't get the pages to come apart. For what man knoweth the things of man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but what? The spirit of God. Verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, no, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things which are freely given to us of God. Verse 13. Which things also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teach, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And then finally, but the natural man receiveth not these things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can they know them, because they are spiritually discerned. It's the heart. It's the heart. It's the Spirit of the Lord. It's him coming into our life and touching our heart. And you can't just have heart without the head either. Because there was a sect that tried that for a while. No truth, Just heart. Now, you want a gray upper area. I'm going to tell you right now, you want a gray upper area. Let's just all smoke a joint out here and have a fest. I'm just saying, that's what that was. It was just nothing but heart. I think it was come from good intentions, trying to reach somewhere where really we need to reach, but you can't leave off the head. You can't leave off the standard. You can't leave that. You know what? I just want to tell you something. With the truth and believe in God's truth, that's where discernment will live and die. The moment you quit believing it as truth, discernment will die. As long as you keep believing it's the truth. Give me Psalms 119:66. David says it like this. He can say it better than even I can try to tell you. Teach me good discernment. That's the same word. There's umpteen words in the Old Testament for discernment. Teach me good discernment and knowledge. For what? For I've believed your commandment. I believe them. So teach me discernment. I hang on to truth. I still got the head. But we know we can't just have it. We got to have the heart. Because ain't that where true discernment sometimes really happens? Because you know what I found? Now we've been talking about this all night. That God's world is black and white, and it is. But we're imperfect, and sometimes, I'm going to show you something here in a minute. Sometimes we come across things that are truly gray to us. Now, I believe you got to put in the work to pilfer through it, sift through it. But without these two aspects, this head and heart together, you'll never, sometimes ever, get just enough in the head to decide. Sometimes there ain't enough head knowledge to give you the wisdom to say, this is the way I should go. Sometimes it takes head and heart to know this is the way at this moment or at this time. I found two verses that are right back to back. And if ever there was two verses that apply what I'm trying to say tonight, where we need discernment, it is these two verses. Now, these are just simple verses, but this really shows our need for discernment. And I'm going to close with this. Give me Proverbs 26, 4 and 5. I want you to see this. Proverbs 26, 4 and 5. Listen. And by the way, this would be good Facebook knowledge too for y'all. I thought about that when I read this. Right. This is good Facebook help. Answer not a fool according to his folly. What? Lest you be like it. Come on, somebody. But I want you to stay there just a minute. I want you to really soak that verse up, because the next verse almost seems contradictory. All right? Next verse, verse 5. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. Well, which is it? Go back to verse 4. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest you be like him. Verse 5. Answer a fool, which is it? Do I not answer the fool, or do I answer the fool? Didn't see that verse coming, did you? Which is it? That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, and this is the power of discernment, of the head and the heart. And each one of you know exactly, you've been in these places where you knew, man, I better say something or this is going to get way out of hand. Right. Or there's been other times you knew, I better not say anything because this is just stupid. Right. Head and heart. Discernment. Because when we, see, we're not perfect. We're not, see, God, he can look at the fool in either case and know exactly what to do. But in our imperfection, without discernment, we can do the wrong thing. See it all the time on Facebook, don't y'all? Why ain't y'all talking back to me? But it takes that discernment. And this is just the simple part. There's so many things in life is like this, ain't it? Where if it's only discernment, it's only discernment. It's the head and the heart. Never getting away from that standard. No. You get away from the standard and it's gray. It's gone, baby. It's gone. But yet having the heart sometimes to be able to know this is the time, this is the place, this is the words, this is what, this is when. Amen. Discernment. Discernment, because it's a gray world. It's a gray world. Amen. And God wants us to operate in discernment. Did you hear me? He don't want any one of us haphazardly operating at all. He wants us to function fully, that we may know what is the good, the acceptable, oh no, even beyond the perfect. Discerning. Discerning what is even the perfect will of God. Amen. Brother Paul, y'all come on. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. I know it's an odd place to stop, but it was either there or go on for another 30 minutes. Just saying. Because the next section was just too heavy or too much material. Plus, it's time to quit anyway. But it is an abrupt stop, I'll have to admit. But I did that for your benefit. Amen. Amen. That's powerful. It's so important. Head and heart. Head and heart. Head and heart. The wise at heart shall be known as a discerner.